All right. Welcome, everybody, to the final sort of evening of the SharePoint conference. And thanks for sticking around till 5 to see our presentation here. We're from Knowledge Lake, and we're going to have a discussion today on ECM on SharePoint 2013, 13 ways to make it rock. I'm Chris Kaplinger. I'm the CTO at Knowledge Lake. And this is Hao Chai. Hao is a product lead on a lot of the products you're going to be seeing today as we're going through the demonstration. Okay, so before we get started, I just want to remind everybody about session evaluations. These are important. Put good feedback in there. It's good to hear it as speakers. You know, we need to know what we're doing wrong, what we're doing right. So much appreciated. There's a link on there. Okay, so as we get started, the first thing I want to do is just kind of throw the question out there. What is enterprise content management? So you understand the context of where Knowledge Lake comes from when we talk about this thing called ECM. So we use the definition from the AIM organization, and AIM is sort of the professional organization for the ECM industry, knowledge management. And it's the strategies, methods, tools used to capture, manage, store, preserve, and deliver content and documents related to organizational processes, and of course the tools that go around it. And I promise that's the last time I'll just read a slide through the rest of the hour. All right, so if anybody was here in 2010, we did a presentation on SharePoint 2010 ECM, 10 ways to make it rock. In 2010, ECM really came into its own in SharePoint, and that's when they really added most of the features that you see today in SharePoint were added with 2010 as it relates to ECM. So today we're going to take a little different track on it. We're doing 13 ways to make it rock. So instead of just talking about the features, we're talking about ways to use ECM inside SharePoint in your organization, ways to make it better. So what we're doing here, we have six sections we're going to roll through today, starting at governance and taxonomy, then the mobility, on-ramp and usage, search, and workflow. These aren't in any particular order, so it's not the first one's better than the last one or vice versa or anything like that. We just picked them in a way that we can make them flow a little bit better. So to get started in the first section here, governance and taxonomy. Okay, so the first thing you can do, new for 2013, is set up site policies. So site policies, the value of these are, inside of an organization, if you're using SharePoint a lot, especially if you have collaboration, if you're using My Sites and different things, maybe even eDiscovery, you're gonna be having a lot of sites being created every day. And as time goes on, you'll start getting hundreds and thousands, and in some cases, tens of thousands of sites out there. And without some way to clean up these sites, they can get totally out of control. Totally out of control sites, they cause a compliance problem. Compliance problems aren't good. That brings in the attorneys. You don't want them. So what you can do is with site policies is they're set up at the site collection level. They're used by sites. So as you're setting up a new site, you, inside of a site collection, you set a specific policy for it, and it makes a decision on when the site's going to close, when it's going to be deleted after it closes. And also in this, it's going to include exchange mailboxes associated with the site. So in 2013, you can associate exchange mailboxes right on any specific site. So using your retention policies on here, as those site closes and as the site gets deleted, the exchange mailbox is going to go right along with it. And that saves administrators a lot of time, and especially when you're starting to talk about, again, the hundreds, the thousands, the tens of thousands of sites. So I'm going to switch over here. All right. And just run into a fast demonstration here of site settings, or of site settings, of site policies. So I run into site settings, and I'm having trouble with my mouse here, there it goes. So we're gonna do is go down here to site collection administration, go to site policies, and on here you can see I've already created a couple site policies. Instead of creating one here, I'll just go into one I've already created. And as you can see, I call it SPC policy. And you can see my options here. So I've already selected on this one here, delete sites automatically. So I can set a deletion event. I can set it to the created date or the closed date of when a site's gonna be created. And of course, you just pick your time and you pick your period of time over here. So you can also pick to close and delete sites automatically. So now you can say close it after a specific time. And then after it's closed, now you might wanna wait another week or another 2 weeks to actually delete the site. So it's the same time, the same type of options here. You can send emails down here at the bottom. And then here you can also say owners can postpone imminent deletion. So this might be a case where you might want to give an owner another week to go get content out of there. So they can, it's basically they get warned. It's like, okay, a week from now this site's going away because we don't let this type of site stay around the system for that long. But this way it'll give them a chance to do something about it. There's an option up here to not close or delete sites automatically. I'm not sure why you do this. You'd set up a policy to do nothing, but the option is here. And then the fourth one on here, which you notice you don't see, I have no idea what happened to this. When I set up my demo on the preview of SharePoint 2013, there was a fourth option on here called use a workflow to decide when a site's gonna get closed and when it gets deleted. Now, I'm sure there's something I've set wrong somewhere. I looked and I never could find it. But there is a fourth option down here, or there's supposed to be, that allows you to use a workflow. So if you selected that, you would see the different options you could pick for workflow. So I'll just close that, run back over here to site closure and deletion. So now that I've got the policy set up, I can just pick the policies and use them in this site. And you can see here, this site will be deleted on 2 months following closure. So you can see the rules right there on the site itself. Where's my clicker at? All right. Okay, number two, things you can do is using the term store. This term store was brought into SharePoint in 2010, mm-hmm. and it's probably more known as enterprise managed metadata, but the terms are really the terms inside the store itself are part of enterprise managed metadata. It's actually where you put the values, where you can help you structure your taxonomy. So with enterprise managed metadata, they added some new features. The first one is called pinning terms. In previous versions of SharePoint, you had the ability to reuse a term, but we have now this thing called pinning. Really, the biggest difference is when you reuse a term, when you use the term in the new location, all the properties stay with that. So you can change it. It's not a read-only type of thing. So when you move it into a different site collection, especially, somebody could go out there and it could change the taxonomy on you and what the values were. Pinning's a little bit different. Pinning moves it and allows you to reuse it, but it makes it read-only, so you can't go change all those properties. And then you have custom properties, which allow you to put specific properties on the terms themselves. And I'll jump into a demonstration here, and that'll probably make a little bit more sense. So going back to my site settings here, I'm just going to run into Term Store Management. And up here you see my Managed Metadata Service. And I'm just going to open a couple of these up here. So this is one that's actually I created. I do this pull down right here, and here you can see I have the ability to copy terms and reuse terms, which were there before, but now I have this new one called pin term with children. So what it does, it pins a term and it brings all the children item with it. I click this here. Go in here, and this might not make a lot of sense. It's kind of a, for this demonstration, but it would make a lot of sense as we were moving from site collection to site collection. So let's say I'd created that taxonomy structure in one site collection, and I wanted to reuse it somewhere else. I can move the whole thing without having to recreate it by a whole other department, because a lot of times departments have different people running their taxonomy, controlling their taxonomy. But what happens as taxonomies start to grow, that can become a full-time job. Well, now you not only have a full-time job on one site collection, but you have a full-time job managing a taxonomy in another site collection. So by doing this, it just allows me to pick it, hit OK, and you can see simply there, well, maybe, is it copied the Atlanta term store, or term, and brought it up here under accounting. So when you're done with that, you can just simply delete it, hit OK. It's going to go away. The second thing I talked about on there was custom properties. So with custom properties, you have the ability to put specific properties on any specific term. So here you'll see that there's shared properties, there's local properties. Obviously, a shared property is going to go along with it. Those properties are going to follow the term throughout its reuse. So local property means that property is only going to stick on that specific term. This could be used for example, I'm in accounting. Just go in here and add one, department ID equals one. Now there's not a lot of use for this inside the user interface itself, but maybe a developer would come along and maybe there's lookups that could be done. So as he's writing code against a term store, he might be able to look up these IDs and say, hey, this really isn't department accounting, it's department number one, and use it inside code to do a lookup. Okay, then the final one on here was metadata navigation, and I'm not going to get into a demonstration of metadata navigation. It was there in 2010. The navigation itself didn't change much, but it was worth mentioning because the API set around managed metadata navigation has been greatly improved. In fact, there wasn't much of an API at all around it in 2010. Okay, next session we're going to roll into is mobility, and Hal's going to show you that.
Yep. So you're probably wondering why this guy standing here, just standing pretty. I'm actually going to talk. So,
but you're not. You're insinuating you're better looking than I am.
Well, maybe. So mobility. I'm not going to go into why it is important. Everybody heard a lot here at this conference or at other conference how important mobility and cloud and social, all these topics are. So first, I want to give a kudos to Microsoft for just improving the out-of-the-box experience was using mobile devices to access SharePoint. Well, SharePoint as a web application, you could always use the browser to access it, even back in 2010 days. But with 2013, what they've added, the ability to improve your experience is different levels of views, mobile views, if you're using, it depends on the device you're using. First, the classic view, this is probably for I'm not going to name names, but I have some friends who are like, using classic vintage technologies like Blackberries and, those. Well, if you have one of those devices, this is probably something that, give you they're doing the best they can to give you more of as you can see, a 1990 look and feel type of interface. But I'm more excited about this. The next one called a contemporary view. This is probably most of the people in this room, I would venture to guess you have some Android device or iOS device or maybe Windows Phone 8 that just came out last week. So those devices, you can use this contemporary view, which is, if you look at it, it's very similar to how Windows 8, the philosophy where content first, maximize the screen real estate to display the content, the things that are important to you, the links, and you can get and click to. And if there's some flashy animations, you probably won't see them on this view. Sometimes though, you may want to use a web page or a specific page more like a web app, and there may be things, even though flashy or whatever, you do need to get to it. So they do give you this option to get to full view, where you can basically viewing the full interface of SharePoint on a smaller screen. But you can do a pinch zoom, so you can zoom into a particular area. You want to click a button or something. So this is a big improvement, I think, over 2010. Another thing that's worth mentioning is Office web apps. Some of you probably have been to sessions about Office web apps, and we're not going to go into details about that. But if you do have that set up, you can actually, you basically have Office in your pocket. You can have, from your device, you can view Office documents. Well, once again, the experience is going to be limited for vintage devices. But if you have one of the modern devices, and you'll be able to view the Office documents on there. And if you have tablets like an iPad or an Android tablet, you can actually edit contents, Office documents on your device. Even though I don't see a lot of people using these mobile devices as authoring devices and do a lot of work, they probably mostly for consuming. But I do see occasionally, you probably get on an airplane, you last minute have to update a slide. It would be nice to have do it on your tablet. But we're probably more common scenario anticipate is people having, you have this very powerful camera in your pocket. A lot of times we probably want to take say if you're an insurance adjuster, you take a picture of the scene, or you're just this week, everybody here trying to, maybe have expense reports and receipts and you want to submit to your accounting department. It would be nice if you just use your smartphone and take a picture and being able to submit it to SharePoint, kick off a workflow, and getting the approval process going. In order to do that, out-of-the-box experience on different devices are not that good. I mean, if you think about how you take a picture and trying to send it, upload it. There's not an easy way to do it. And especially if you want to tag, make sure you have metadata tags on those contents so it can trigger the workflow. And so that's where Knowledge Egg comes in. We built this Knowledge Egg. We have a product called Knowledge Egg Capture. We actually moved that into the mobile world, the Knowledge Egg Capture for mobile. It allows you to capture and upload documents and to SharePoint from your mobile devices. First, we started with the iOS devices, and based on our customer feedback. One of the neat thing about it is actually allow you to tag or index the document with metadata very easily. And we try to improve this user experience because, this is a small device, and so doing a lot of typing is not very practical. So instead of just keep talking, which is kind of boring, let me just show you how this works. All right, so it's on the screen. So this is one of the iPhone we have. This app actually is in the process of getting Apple approval, so you should see it in the App Store soon. On the dock here, you see the KL Capture. Once you launch the app, I'll go through the interface a little bit. So it's pretty simple, and you got settings. That's where you can add editing existing sites, or you can add a new site. Pretty straightforward. You just give the URL, you give the credentials, and then we can connect to the site and get your schema back. And contact support, I'm not going into that. It's pretty simple. If you have a, hopefully you don't have any problem with it. If you do have a problem, you can contact our support. One of the ways to use it is, like I said, you already took a picture, from your camera roll. Maybe you pick one existing image, and you come over here to this interface where, this is not a W4. This is a different content type. So we're going to pick employee photo, right? That was one of our employee, Helen. And we're going to pick employee photo as the content type. And as you can see, once you pick the content type, we display the proper properties that associate with that content type. Also, we give you some hints, like the employee ID. That's a required field. You got to put that in. So let's just put something in here. Let's say she is a VP, and the job title, and employee ID. I happen to know. I think her ID was number 2. And okay, so don't blink and watch next. When I click this next, it's going to go to the database and do a lookup. And since we already have an employee record database, we know employee number 2, first name and last name. This saves you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 9 clicks. But you get the idea. This is actually, we try to make it easy. This is just one of the what we call index behaviors we have from our Knowledge Egg products that being able to configure it. There are other ones like lookups and maybe required field. We're not going to show all of them, but this is one of them. Another way to use this application, obviously you can take a picture. In this case, I'm going to take a picture of Chris, if I can get it there. All right, that's a really nice. See, that's why I say I'm better looking. Just prove my point. All right, so once again, you come back and employee photo. You can pick maybe number 3.
So how as you're doing this, one thing to mention is it works with, you see an index panel here, but throughout all our products. So whether you're capturing from paper or anywhere else in our desktop products or web products, mm-hmm. it's the same experience. So the lookups work the same because everything's being done server side.
Correct.
In those lookups, it's not just a database. It could be really any BCS connection inside of SharePoint, right?
That's correct. Yep. Yep. So this is, the second way. So name is not Superman, but hey, I'm working on my raise, so it's closing to the end of the year. A third way to use this app, I think this is you'll find it very useful, is you receive an email from one of your employees, and they're new, they just started out, and they signed a W-4 form, and you need to get this to SharePoint. Well, iPhone don't have a native app to get you from an email attachment to SharePoint, but with Knowledge Egg Capture, you can. So you just need to hold down this attachment, you say open in Capture, and it will launch our application and come over here, and you can pick the right content type, which was W4. And you put in the correct information here. You you got the idea. So that's how you use. Well, we think this is going to be a very useful app for people who want to add content to SharePoint. So it works with SharePoint 2010 and SharePoint 2013. So let me switch back to the slides, talk about some future plans. So this is the V1. You know, we want to get a product to the market quick. So this is we think this is a minimum viable product feature set. But we have big plans. We have other plans. We think one of the things we think about, I talk about that use case where you want to take a picture of a receipt. One of the things we notice is when people take a picture of a receipt, it's, you know, you're in a restaurant, the lighting may not be very good, you know, you try to zoom in, it's really hard. So what you can do is we want to add this ability for you to do auto crop for, not for you, but for the app to auto crop your document. So based on you can tell where the document boundary is and, you know, what's background and what's your receipt, and crop that document. I think that will help. And another feature we want to add is the ability to do a binarization. Well, that's a big word, but what it does is most of the time receipts, for example, color serves no purpose. There's no use for it. So you convert it to black and white, that will reduce the size, make the file smaller, and reduce the bandwidth when you upload it. But also, it can improve the OCR results. OCR is the technology we use to extract information from a receipt. If you're taking a picture of someone's business card, for example, and try to extract some data from it, there are apps that can do that. So in those kind of scenarios, if you have a black and white image, you can improve the results. Of course, you know, we're not just going to build stop at all iOS devices. We want to build Windows Phone 8, and we want to build on the Android platform. So unfortunately, we don't have plan for vintage devices of BlackBerry, since hopefully everybody will replace them and get on more modern devices.
Great, thanks, Hal.
Sure.
All right, so moving on to the next section, we're calling on-ramp and usage. Didn't really have a good name for the section, so really we just threw something together, and that's what we decided to call it. But anyway, the features in here are really cool. So the first one is syncing in SkyDrive Pro. I didn't make it to many sessions this week, so I don't know how much this was talked about, but I did see it previewed a little bit in the keynote I was at on Monday morning. So instead of just saying SkyDrive Pro, I say syncing and SkyDrive Pro. Because I started digging into this, I realized that really syncing is a technology, and you can sync across any document library throughout SharePoint, not just my sites. Mm. What SkyDrive Pro is, it's just the experience when you're using a my site. So when you go in there, and I'll show the demonstration in a second, there's going to be a SkyDrive button at the top. You click it, it takes you directly to your my site's library. So, and that's really all that is. The SkyDrive Pro means is that. But you can sync anywhere. You can sync from any document library. You can sync to multiple devices. So if you have a desktop, you have a laptop, you can sync to both of those. I know there's also some future technologies coming out that allows it to happen in mobile. Because if you're a user of normal SkyDrive, the one that's been out for a while, that already works with different mobile devices. It works with Windows Phone plus iOS, and I think maybe even, I don't know if Android's out there or not, but I know iOS and Windows Phone for sure. So it's just going to allow the syncing mechanism to start happening, you know, for your organization and for your documents there, not just your personal documents that you're using the normal SkyDrive for. So it also allows offline syncing. So if you're doing making a document offline on an airplane, you put it in Windows Explorer because it's got Windows Explorer integration, and when you come back online, it's just automatically going to upload directly to your document library. So I think the best way to demonstrate that is let's just jump over back to the browser. And you'll see here, I'll just hit the SkyDrive button at the top. It takes me to my document library and my site. And you can see here, you see three documents. And if I go over here, you'll notice that there's my normal SkyDrive that's been there for a while. But this is SkyDrive Pro. This is the new one. This takes me directly to my document library and my sites. And you'll notice here that there's a couple documents out here. So what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to add a new document. I'll add a PowerPoint, and we'll just call it SPC test, hit enter. And now that you see SPC test up there, come back over here to the library, hit refresh, and there it is, SPC test. So you can see the syncing happens very fast. And this is, we're connected live right now. This is actually virtual machine sitting up in Azure, so it happened pretty quick. So this is about the experience you're going to get in the normal corporate world.
So we have that. So the next thing we'll do is we'll run back here. And we'll go to my HR site where all our superheroes are stored. I'm going to go to documents. And you can see everything here. You can see a bunch of documents here. Now, the view I've got turned on here actually has foldering, but I've turned foldering off. So you're going to see a lot more documents here than you'll actually see when I in the foldering structure that will sync. So I just come up here. I hit the sync button. Hit allow on that there. And it's going to come up here and say, hey, do you want to sync the documents from HR? Now, if HR document library was really big, had thousands and thousands of documents in there, there is a limit to it. I didn't dig in very deep to find out where the limit is, but I know in the SharePoint workspace there was it was 1,000, maybe a couple thousand documents, something around there. So there is going to be limits. It's not going to sync a million document library. But if I hit sync now, it's going to sync, and it's pretty quick. And once that does, it's going to ask me to show my files. And it just takes me over here to now, you saw SkyDrive Pro. Now you see this thing called SharePoint. And you'll see out here that my HR documents, if I open that up, you'll start seeing my documents actually syncing live right there for us in the demonstration. And like I was saying, there's a folder there, so a lot of the documents are sitting in the folder. You can see a little refresh icon on there just saying that the syncing's happening. So it works the same way. I could add documents on here, and they're going to automatically show back up inside my document library. So that's syncing. Okay, number six, use a SharePoint desktop app. So, you know, in our experience with using browser-based applications, they're getting better and better. Silverlight was good, HTML5 is even better, but most people in this room, probably when they go to do email, especially at the corporate office, you probably go use Outlook. You just use a normal desktop application because desktop applications usually work better for getting real productive work done. So we realized that at Knowledge Lake, and the customers were starting to ask for it. So in a version of Connect, we're on our fifth version, Connect 5, we added two features to Connect 5 to make it work a lot like SharePoint. We added Explore and Search. Upload was there in the previous versions. So I am going to move back over here, and I think the best way to show this is, I need to, having trouble with my remote desktop, it keeps timing out on us. Okay, there we go. Okay, so here's Connect 5. And you'll notice the experience when you're sitting here looking in Explore mode is very similar to SharePoint. There's really no difference. It's just SharePoint on the desktop. But the thing is, things will happen faster here. You'll be able to do more. You'll be able to interact with files on your desktop quicker. So if you want to upload files, download files, work with them, you know, especially if you want to work with them in Word or anything like that, it's just going to be always easier right here from Connect inside of a desktop app. So you can see here, those are all my, you know, you can see my employee pictures. Syncing, go back to documents, you can see all those. And up here at the top, have a couple options here. You can see I can actually just launch over to my browser to view it there if I want to. It uses views, so if you have views set up for your SharePoint site, it's going to be able to use those. And then you go over to documents and your normal stuff, you can upload. We also have the ability to scan documents right here. So if I had a scanner hooked up, that wouldn't be grayed out. You'd be able to see that. And then the normal stuff, check in, check out, and edit properties, and all those types of things. The other two options on here, upload and search, I'm not going to get into because Hal's going to be doing some demonstrations later that that get into those a little bit more. So we'll just save those demonstrations till next. Okay, that was number six. Moving on to number seven, which, Hal, I think this is the demonstration we were just talking about.
Correct. Number seven, more than halfway. All right, getting closer and closer to beer. So.
Yeah, perfect.
I'm going to show you, I'm going to try to talk about this first and see if it makes sense. So one of the things we notice is there's this divide between people in this room. People are, you know and love SharePoint and knows your way around SharePoint and love to, when I talk about uploading the documents to SharePoint, you all know what it involves and how to do it. But you know, we also have in our organizations the business users, right? A lot of them are actually decision makers and you know they hold budget. So that's important. They have this kind of resistance to, everybody have a resistance to change, right? One of the legitimate reasons that they have a question about adopting SharePoint is, well, they live in a different world. They live in the If they're an accountant, they probably live in an accounting software, maybe ERP software, maybe HR benefits management software. These software, they've used them for decades, and they know their way around them. You know, whether their user interface is old and not modern, it doesn't matter. But the point is, they are familiar with it. That's where they do their job, and that's their context of their work. To tell them they have to learn this new thing called SharePoint in order to just attach a document to a particular transaction or save someone's employee file, it's a little too much, and we hit the resistance for adoption. One of the ways, I think, the best way to improve that situation, to foster better adoption, is to say, why don't we bring those content, why don't we bring SharePoint features to your to the context of your work, and make it more seamless and transparent to these users. And they can stay in the line of business applications they work every day and know and love, and still being able to use SharePoint without even knowing what SharePoint is or being able to spell it. Sounds like magic, right? So, instead of me just keep talking about this, let me just switch over to our demo machine and show you what I mean by that. You saw Chris showed you this, SharePoint for desktop application. What if I'm just a HR manager and I really don't care about SharePoint, and I just want to find my document, maybe upload a W4 form that I received via email and saved on my desktop. I want to put this somewhere that I can find later and from the screen, right? That's so. Luckily, I got an awesome SharePoint administrator in my organization who come back from this conference and found this new technology from Analogic called Unify, and added this to my Dynamics ERP system, where when I bring up this employee record, I get this little button up here. When I click on it, it tells me I can do these things. These are not hard-coded. My administrator did not have to do any programming. It's all configuration. We don't have time. This is a business session, not a developer session, so I'm not going to go into the details of how to configure it. But as you can see, we got three options here. First, I want to talk about a save, since we're talking about upload documents to SharePoint. When I select it, I get this little drop zone on the corner here. What I can do is I can drag this file, put it on the drop zone, and I can also browse to a doc, explore view to find a document. And either way is fine.
And if we were actually, what we'd like to do is a scanning demo here, but you can see that back at our booth. We didn't want to log the scanner and bring it in here. But ideally, you would be scanning a piece of paper here.
Correct. That's correct. Either scan or upload. It's the same. I mean, scan is a little bit different UI, but it's a very similar approach. But the point here is, as you can see, I didn't have to come over here and type in all these metadata, or go back and forth and do copy and paste between the line of business application and Connect, right? So the Unify application already extracted this information from the screen and 100% accurate put it back onto this screen, where you can save this document to SharePoint. Oh, I already saved it once, so I'm not going to overwrite it. But that I think it's an improvement in productivity and help with adoption,
sure,
quite a bit, because they don't have to learn a new thing. They just have to know to click
a
button.
Know their line of business. And how you're showing a Dynamics application, which is, I think, CRM or mm-hmm. one of the Dynamics apps.
Yep.
But the key here is it works with a web application. So you have a web application. It works with mm-hmm. HTML just fine, works with Silverlight, works with green screens, I think.
Correct.
Old archaic green screens even.
Yeah. And so we're not programming against the back end. We're just doing some magic in the front end.
So. Right.
All right. Back to you.
Okay. So the next one is search. We're moving along. Now we're getting into kind of the core topics here. We were getting into the things, the big rocks for SharePoint 2013. Where did Microsoft make the big differences? There's a couple of them. Search was a big bet for 2013, and I know everybody in Knowledge Lake's excited about it. The developers are loving the things that they can do inside search now. So what we're going to do is, first of all, talk about the new crawling features inside Search, just some of the new abilities we have with the new version. You know, as most of you know, if you've been going to the search sessions this week, they've taken FAST and they've taken the SharePoint 2010 search and they combined it into one thing, which is now the 2013 search. What's great about it is you don't have to go out and install a separate FAST server or anything like that. It's when you install SharePoint, all that ability is right there without having to do any extra work. But by having FAST and having those types of features, you know, really allows for a much more scalable search farm. So one of the first features here in crawling that you can do, it's something called continuous crawling. Now what we're recommending at Knowledge Lake you do is to turn on continuous crawling and use that instead of incremental crawls. Now incremental crawls haven't changed. Really a continuous crawl is just an incremental crawl. It's the same type of thing. But what you have the ability, especially as you start scaling out your search system and your crawling system, is you can have these things running simultaneously on top of each other. So I got a do in here. It says do change default from 15 minutes to something much, much lower. It's a PowerShell, and that's getting deep and kind of gets to beyond what we're going to talk about in this session here, because I'm trying to keep it high level if possible. But you know, when you lower that thing to something smaller, you can start having these searches happen or these crawls happen much quicker. So as you're putting content in, and that's what we do, you know, we're about on-ramping content in the SharePoint. So we can get those things into the index much faster to make documents searchable. Another thing that helps us do that faster is the PDFi filter. In previous versions of SharePoint, the PDFi filter had to be brought from a third party. So you had to get one from Adobe, you had to get one from Foxit, you had to install it, configure it, and I don't know, I've always, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not an administrator anymore, so I have kind of, every time I did it, I did something wrong, and I always had a hard time getting it set up. And then you had to go into the crawling feature or the search features and turn stuff on, and I always messed it up. But you don't have to do that. It's just right out of the box, no configuration required. The one thing to keep in mind here is there's no OCR on that. So if you're in something like Microsoft Word, you create a PDF or save your Word file as a PDF, you put it in SharePoint, that doesn't need to be OCR'd because it was text-based data. So all that data from your all that text from your Word document is going to get put into the index right away, even though it was a PDF file you put up there without any more work. The key to know is that images, as you're scanning, well, they're not going to be OCR'd automatically, so they're not going to be converted to text on the server and make them searchable. So what we say is at Knowledge Lake, we've got OCR technology that's built into the scanning product, and we scan and we turn these PDFs into full-text PDFs before we send them to SharePoint. So even if you had a technology that did it, you wouldn't want it. You do not want to run OCR. It's a processor intensive application on your web front ends. And as you see, and we'll talk about workflow, it's about getting all this stuff off your web front ends. Let your web front ends do what they do best and not all this other stuff. So don't ever run OCR type of process on those. The third one is with crawling features is external sources. And again, if you've been going to the sessions, I won't dig into this very far because you've probably already heard about it this week, but you now have the ability to crawl these external sources in SharePoint. So such as your file shares, Exchange, and Exchange, a lot of them. There's a lot going on with Exchange and SharePoint now. I mean, there's just a lot of interaction between them, a lot of integration built right in. Also websites, line of business systems, all these can be made external sources that you can come in and search in SharePoint as if it was just part of the SharePoint or part of a content database. Okay, keeping on moving. It's the next one we're going to talk about is improving content searching, number 9 on here. The first thing I want to talk about is something new called the hover card, which is a just kind of a neat thing they added. There was third parties doing this a little bit before. But switch over to our demo machine here and minimize this. Set up there. It is. Going here, and I'm just on a site here, so I'll just type in. As you can see, we're big superhero fans here at Knowledge Lake because really we put them in the employee file because all of our employees at Knowledge Lake are superheroes, and they're here. You can just ask them. So where is my Word document that I wanted to show? There it is down there. Okay, so I just come down here. I put my mouse over a Word document, and right here in what they call the hover card, I think it's a hover card, not the hover panel. I was getting mixed up on what that was called. You just see the, if you have the Office server on there, it automatically rendered this thing right inside my hover card. And I'm just using my scroll on my mouse to go up and down here. So you can see it actually rendered it right there inside of it. Now, to get this to render in this type of thing, in this case, you have to install the that Office Server app, and it's a whole nother install. So it doesn't come with SharePoint, and you need to install it on a different SharePoint server. So just keep in mind, it's another server that you're adding to your farm as you build this out. As you're doing that, I guess I should mention one more thing on that. If you're If you're just viewing with it, there is no cost. If you're editing and you want to actually go in here, and I could open this for edit down there. You see the edit button. I would open this up and be able to edit it live just like you did in SkyDrive. You can do that with SharePoint, but that's where the license costs come in. So just to mention that, that's where the cost comes. So now if I move up here, I just hovered over a PDF file. Now this isn't out of the box in SharePoint. This is something that we added with our Knowledge Lake imaging server and the ability to see these PDFs right inside the hover card. But it's just something we did, but that's what's cool about SharePoint 2013. It'll allow the integration to happen. So we were able to just use this and integrate the PDFs right into it. Now of course we have a viewer here, which, how are we doing here on time? I won't get into that. We've got a whole viewer that allows you to see this and edit it and go in a lot deeper, but might go into that if we have more time later. But the idea on this is that even if you have what the Knowledge Lake brings, even on those Word documents, if I didn't have that Office web app server installed, what I could do is our server will render those Word documents for you live without installing that other server. So there's just kind of another reason, another thing that we're bringing. Okay, so improving content searching, the next thing is result sources. So result sources, new in 2013, but it replaces the scope. So if you were doing a lot with search before, you had these things called scopes. Result sources are the new scopes, but what it does is it combines external sources as well. So you could have a scope set up for Microsoft Exchange for your file share. So when you're building out your search, you can say, hey, I just want to search that, or I want to search a combination of different repositories. There's some other cool things you can do with it, and I'm just going to go back over here to our demo machine and go into site settings, top level, search result sources, and I set these up ahead of time because I always know when I set these up in a live demo, I always mess them up, so it's easier just to show you what I have already did. So here's a result source that I set up, and you notice it says PDF file. So what this result source is going to do is only search PDF files, nothing else. So I scroll down here, I launched the Query Builder. And you can see right here what happened is it says search terms file extension equals PDF. To get to that, I just said show all managed properties, so all your managed properties are going to show up in here. And I just find file extension and hit it, and then I just change this to equals manual value, and then I just put PDF in there and had add property filter, and that's what added that in there. But you could do it with any property, so you could build result sources, do very, very specific things. And you can see over here on the right, the test query shows that, hey, there's 44 PDF files in there that we can see now. Okay, so I'm not going to use that result source right now, but we'll use that in the next thing that we're going to talk about. Click here. And it's a content search web part. The content search web part in 2013 replaces the content query web part that was in 2010. So I'm going back and forth here, but the best way to do this instead of talking about it is, again, let's just go in here and show it. So I'm going to run over here to my HR site. And you'll see up here in this top section, there's no box around it, but you see a couple search results here. You see Spider-Man with a bunch of ones out there. What this is that is the content search web part. I already added it in here, so I did it with insert web part. But once it's in here, I'll just go in here and edit it to kind of show you the properties that I set up. Again, it's easier to do this, set it up ahead of time so I don't make mistakes when I'm doing it. And you'll see change query on here, so you edit, get into the properties, go in here to edit, and you can see right here on the select a query, I selected my result source to be the PDF files that I already created. So now when I'm doing the search, it's only going to return the PDF files because that's the result source. I can go in here and pick another one, but I just thought it was kind of fun to use the one I created. And what I did here is you'll see down here that I pre-created this. It's called SSN OWS text. Now, the property is actually called just SSN, but this is the managed property that comes back from the from search. So it's a little bit cryptic when you're using it. And I found in here by, again, I would just said show managed properties, hit it, and scroll down here. So that's where I picked it from, right there on my managed properties. Again, I tested my query, so it's even showing me here as I did my test, you see the relevant results up here on the right were 2. And I hit cancel here, and you can see that there's the two documents right there. And then you got some other things in here, number of items to show, you know, different property mappings and other things that you can set up. So you can see this power and the new things you can do with result sources with this web part. What we did at Knowledge Lake, we saw this and we thought, man, we need to take all that one step further. That's great, and it's good technology, but let's build on the technology that's already there and let's do more with it. So what we did, stop editing, discard changes. And this is the weirdest thing, I have to do this twice. I don't know why I have to do that. I'm gonna go back to my home here. Oh, and there's the Ask the Expert section. Don't look at that. It's not a six. You can wait. So in here, this is our employee document search right in here. And this is a template that we had pre-set up for this particular site. So we went in and we created it a little bit like we did the like we just did that content search web part. So that was driving me crazy, that little reminder up there. So anyway, what we get here is, once we do it though, we get this easier experience, so we don't have to keep running back and going into that result or that query builder and building a query every time. So what we did is we just took it and we laid out the managed property right here. And of course, what we did is we went out and used the column name inside there, so it wasn't that OWS text thing that doesn't make a lot of sense. And what we can do here is we can just search directly right in here in line. It goes out and you see the documents. Oh, in this case here, what I didn't do, when I set this up, I didn't use the result source PDF files. I just used the normal SharePoint result source. So I'm seeing a little more than just the two. I'm also seeing the Word documents. So right here, here's the results. You see the three documents for Spider-Man here. And you see the different column headings. But what also is neat about this is we got grouping. So I can just drag up here. I could take content type, drag it up there. And then right here and in line, you can just see that the it broke out the different results right inside your own grouping. And, you know, you could do this with more. If I had a lot of results here, I could refine this down even further. So we thought that was kind of cool. We just took the search and we extended it and made it a little bit better. Okay, the last one on here, I'm not going to get into. I know we're probably not, don't have all the time, so I'm not going to get into what query rules are. But query rules just allow you to do a little bit more with those query builders, a little bit more inside search. The first thing in there with a query rule you can do is promoted results. Now, if you were using the old one and you did best bets, it's the same thing. It's just really a new name for them. I didn't get into this. I don't know if the technology is much different, but it's sort of the same thing. What is new is something called result blocks. And I demo this, it'd be better, but I can just talk about it a little bit. And what a result block is you can have certain queries you can do. You say, okay, I'm going to query on this. I want to return these things in addition. So especially for, you know, you've got your enterprise out there and you want to kind of help people drive and help people refine their search a little bit better. You might know that they're searching on specific terms, but you can just further down and give them extra results with the things that they search on. And then also it's ranking. You can have personalized ranking by using query rules. So you can build the ranking in there to personalize a little bit. Of course, you know, the old, which is mostly came from FAST, has its own ranking, which is good. But sometimes you just want to refine that a little bit more. Okay, so all right. We kind of talked about two searches there, and you know, the web part Microsoft provides, we took it and we did a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Hal's going to show something here that takes that even one step further.
Yep. So this is, once again, you know, if you haven't noticed, there's a theme here. We're trying to show some love to a lot of business users, and the people who are not necessarily power users of SharePoint, they don't, you know, find the need to go start a browser session and get to the SharePoint site and try to do the search. Because they live in a different world. They live in their business application world. So in that context, wouldn't it be nice if we can actually initiate the same search that you've showed everybody from the context of their work and seamlessly and transparently? So let me just switch over the demo. Once again, I'd like to show you how this works. Once again, we have...
Close that down. That's it.
I'm out. Don't worry. Hey, we'll be back. Thinking? Yep, it's back. All right, so instead of going into Connect or SharePoint, you know, once again, we come back to this screen. Remember, we were able to add contents from mobile devices. We were able to add content from this screen, actually, to SharePoint. Well, and with all the metadata attached to it. Right. Oh, it doesn't do us any good if we can't find it later, right? So putting those metadata tags with the content, one of the big benefits is you being able to find them later on. without having to type those in. So you come over here, you know, once the user has been trained to look at this Unify button, and they see that there's different options to find documents. And the first one is find HR documents. So I want to find all the HR documents related to Helm. And all I have to do is just click that button, and it will bring me back all the documents, the W-4, I-9s, the application and reviews related to that. And then Christoph showed you the different options. You can group it and all of those nice features. We're not going to go into it, but it brings right into
it. And how something else to start, but something else to mention on here, you're doing it with Connect. You can also make this work with our with the web app.
Server product,
it goes either way.
Yep, that's correct. So another thing you can do is, as you can see, we configured another one called a find W4. In this case, you know, we just want to find the W4 form, not all the HR documents. Instead of finding them all and then digging them through and try to find the one, I'm just going to click find W4. Well, since Helm only has one W4 form, so what is going to happen is we're going to do a search and find, okay, there's only one result. It makes no sense to give you a whole list with only one result in it. We might as well just show you that document in the DonaldJ Connect Viewer, and that's so you can do what you need to do for research that document.
Right.
Yeah, and again, that works in the desktop app or the browser, either one.
Yeah, just from different line of business application, different technologies, you can set them up.
That's awesome. That's a big ROI saver when you don't have to worry about somebody typing things wrong, whether in the entry or the retrieval of it, because at one point they're going to do it wrong and you're going to have data in there correct.
Correct.
Okay, so the last thing on search is something different. It's eDiscovery. eDiscovery has a lot more than just search. It has a lot to do with records management and governance and things, but we decided to put down here in the search section and talk about it as we talked about these other technologies. So the eDiscovery Center is new for 2013. There was some eDiscovery in 2010, but they really took this and took it another step further. So what the eDiscovery Center is, it's really its own site collection. So now you create this site collection called the eDiscovery Center, and we'd always recommend you take this and you can put it on its own web application. Because when you have somebody using your eDiscovery Center, it's probably, you know, a good chance it's an attorney. So we'll do a quick demo here about with our HR file. So you might have an attorney coming in. You want to separate them and you want to separate their rights and their security privileges from the rest of the user base. So, you know, you put that in a different web app and it really allows that. And also, you don't want your employees, you might want to, you know, get them out and not allow them to get anywhere near that site, you know, for governance purposes so the lawyers can do their thing. Oh, I was going to switch over here. So again, we're just going to keep doing the demos. We think that's kind of the best way to do most of the stuff. I'm going to close here, open eDiscovery, log in. Okay, so there's my eDiscovery Center. I just happen to call this one case management. But what this is the whole site collection and the site that I have to actually manage all of my eDiscovery that I'm wanting to do. So in this case here, we're going to talk about the PARs, the Incredibles, Mr. and Mrs. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, they did something wrong, and we got to go get all their documents, and we need to put a hold on them so they can never be deleted while the attorneys do their thing. So what we're going to do out here, we're going to go out, and we're going to create a new case. And we'll just call this case, we'll call it the PARS case, and I don't need a description. And here you notice that it's asking me for a URL. Well, the reason it's a URL, every case that you open is another site inside there. So what this is, it allows you to even have more security around specific cases. So you could block out you know, a certain group of users and tie security directly to each case. And your normal options here, I'm gonna add it to the quick launch bar, hit create. And it should just take a second here. Shouldn't take too long. Okay, so there we go. Now I've got a whole new case created for the PARs. So the first thing I want to do, I want to go out and I'm like, okay, I need to get some of their records and I need to put them on hold so they can't be deleted. So to do that, I'm going to click new item and I'll call this PAR docs, and I'm going to go down here and I'm going to put in Helen PAR, who happens to be the employee. Oh, I forgot to do the sources, didn't I? Sorry about that. The first thing I need to do before I do that, let me back up. I have to go out and grab these new sources, these new result sources that I've been talking about. Well, the first thing you see on here is your mailboxes. You could add your Exchange mailboxes right here to also go out and not just search SharePoint, but go out and search Exchange also. I was kind of lazy when I set this up, and I didn't feel like going out and doing Exchange, so all I did is created the site in SharePoint. So if I can type here, I'm going to put jar and verify that that's the site. It is. I hit OK, and now I got my result source. Okay, so I see on here Helen Parr, and notice down here it returns 17 documents. Well, I forgot. It's like, oh, I don't want to do Helen. I actually wanted to do anybody with the last name of Parr. So I can do that. I can apply filter. And when I do that, it bumps it up. You say, oh, okay, it added six more documents. So Mr. Incredible now is going to be part of this. The other thing I can do here is I can add start dates and end dates. And the start and end works for emails as well as it uses the create a date on a document. Well, it might use a modify date. I'm not sure. One of the two, create a date or modify date on documents to narrow that down. Maybe you only needed their documents for a certain period of time. You didn't really need them for all the time. What they did wrong was only in 1 year. And then you can go change the author and sender. So this is the author of the document, or it could be the sender in case of an email. And I did the apply filter. So I get down here, the next thing I want to do is I want to make sure I place these on hold. So I want to grab these documents and I want to put them somewhere that nobody can get to. Even if I go back to the HR site, start deleting these documents, delete the site, it doesn't matter. These documents are on hold. They're kind of in another magic place that nobody's going to touch. You hit save. That's done. Now what happens here is you see over here my in-place hold status. You see one processing. What it doesn't have in this demo, because it takes a little bit to go get all those documents and put them on hold. Once they were on hold, it's going to show here. It's going to say on hold with filter. We'll see that one discovery set is on hold with filter. So since that's already done, the best way to show this is I'm going to go back to my cases. And I'll go to a case I did. The last case was Batman. He did something bad. So you can see down here, on hold with filter, it already went out when I did this with him, and it grabbed all those documents and put them on hold. So that's just simply right there telling you, okay, I'm done putting items on hold. They're done now. The next thing that you're going to want to do is you're going to want to create a search. So in this case here, I'd already created a search. And to make this faster, I'll just open up one up in the one that's already there. And as you can see, I could actually put specific terms in here. So now I might want to go get just a, maybe just his employee, his review files or a specific content type or something. I could put those in here and build this query right here and only get a specific document to export. I could also come down here on SharePoint and I could pick certain things. Say, I just want to see PDF files or doc files, and you'll start to see here all the documents that that happened that you got. So when you hit save, I could also hit export, which I'm not going to do because it's a little bit time consuming. At that point there, when you hit export, it's going to grab those documents and it's going to start bringing them down to wherever you want to put them. Maybe just a local hard drive. So maybe your attorney's just going to have a USB key, put them on a USB key and bring those documents back to their office so they can work on them. But what happens there is once you do that, and while this download hasn't started, it tells you, okay, I'm downloading. When the download started, it shows it here, and then when the download's completed, it obviously puts it down there. And then when you're done with the case, you can simply go up here and you can do case closure. And it tells you here, close this case right now. So that's it. That's kind of how you manage an entire case of inside eDiscovery. Okay, jumping back here to the deck, we've only got a couple more to go, and I think we're doing okay on time. Okay, workflow. Workflow is another big, big bet. You had search, you had workflow, probably the two biggest bets, especially when you're talking about ECM, and that's the world we live in at Knowledge Lake, is ECM, the two biggest things that we see in 2013. So workflow is awesome. And one of the things that we recommend you to do, number 12, is scale out workflow. Don't think a workflow as a small thing. It has, it was always neat what you could do, but it just had its limitations when you're sitting there and on the web front end. Now there's partners out there, you had partners like K2 and Nintex. They do a great job of scaling this out. K2 can scale out, and Nintex has a better designer and things like that. But what's really cool is even inside of SharePoint 2013, they're starting to make these bets of making workflow a lot better. So the first thing they have this thing called the Workflow Manager. Now, if you were using a preview, you might have noticed it used to be called the Azure Workflow Manager. That was kind of a strange name they had on it, calling it the Azure Workflow Manager. It didn't really mean it was in Azure, but so they dropped that. It's just called the Workflow Manager now. But what it does is you can bring that off, you put it off the web front end, put it on a whole different server completely, and then you can start scaling it. So now you can start taking workflow and scaling it out into multiple servers. And you start thinking about long-running workflows. You know, in ECM, in transactional content management, what we do, workflows can last a week, they can last 2 weeks. It's not a simple workflow that says, hey, just go create a new site. It's these long-running workflows. And when you have things like that, you don't want that stuff happening on a web front end. You want to get it off there. So the other thing it has here, it's got a service bus. And you know, for the techies in here, they're going to know what a service bus means. Service bus is going to allow you to do eventing a lot better. So you're not going to lose events. I mean, that's the thing. Is, and there's even, I think, a caching mechanism that I was talking to one of the product managers that it works. So even if you lose a server or something like that, the you know, everything's cached. There's just no way to lose an event, which is what a service bus should do. The other thing on scaling out a workflow, it allows you to execute SharePoint 2010 workflows. So even though it's not made for 2010 workflows, you can build a 2013 workflow and you can just encase the 2010 workflow right inside of it and go run it. And then of course, there's the Office 365 story. If you do, and I'm going to go in here and just kind of show a quick demo in here, but if you pick an Office 365 site to go out and build your workflow, and you've probably heard a lot about this week, about the you know, the new app model and the automatic partitioning. What will happen is if you put that workflow inside Office 365, automatically it's going to go out in Azure and it's going to create that workflow manager out there. Well, it's actually already out there, but it's just going to go out there and use it and use the workflow manager built into the cloud for you. It's actually running inside Azure. But that'll allow you to scale your workflows even inside Office 365, which in the previous version of Office 365 was a big problem, but seems to be totally solved now. Okay, the last one on here is simplifying workflow design. So we're just one thing away from a cold beer or ask the experts, wherever you're going. So simplify workflow. The thing here to know is that the way you use workflow is a little bit different now, or the way you create a workflow. They've added something called stages, loops, and steps. And what stages, loops, and steps allow you to do, it allows you to do things as, let's say, you have sequential workflows, and that's kind of most of the workflows everybody uses, but you might also have these state machine workflows. Well, what stages, loops, and steps allow you to do, they allow you to kind of build the same type of workflow, but use them all together. It's not a state machine, but it's similar. You can do the same types of things, because you can have a stage, and then you can loop back and, you know, put an if statement in there and go back and do that loop to that stage as many times as you want. And you can go in stages and out of stages, which is a little bit like what a state machine would do. But it's just this new ability gives you a lot more power. The next thing is the visual designer. In 2010, you had Visio, and Visio could do some limited, you know, it could do a visual design, but then you had to deploy it to the SharePoint designer, and then you lost stuff. You couldn't really go back and forth, and it was good, but it wasn't great. Well, what they've done now is they've taken this visual designer, and they put it right inside the SharePoint workflow designer. And probably the best thing to do is just pop over and show that. Okay, so I'm open up SharePoint Designer here, and I'm just going to go to the same site I've been using, my HR site. Put in my password. Open up the site. Okay, so here we are. I've got my site now. I'm just going to click on Workflows here. And I created the workflow called Extract Name. Now, I'm not going to run this workflow because I know we're running out of time here, but what the workflow did is it took that employee name that we were doing, like when Hal put in there, that Helen Parr, and it just took the first name and put it in the first name field, parsed it out, put the last name in the last name field. Pretty simple workflow, but it was fun to mess around with. So I'm just going to hit Edit here, and when I hit Edit, here you go, it popped right in, and I've got this thing configured to show the visual designer. So this is the visual designer. So it's just really Visio right inside the SharePoint designer. So you can go in here and you can see, you can actually add, you know, different things, add Visio annotations right there for it. And you've got your workflow properties here. So what you can see here that I did is, you know, I searched for, you know, an empty string, and I, you know, I shoved it into employee first name, or I grabbed it out of employee first name, and then the next steps are going to grab that out and proceed with the workflow. What's great is, pop here to views, text-based designer, and now that I'm in a text-based designer, I see the old SharePoint designer, what we're used to seeing. So you could go into this text-based view and continue to build your workflow out this way. I don't want to spend a lot of time, but just to kind of show you what I could do is, let's just create a different step, and I'll say loop in times, and I'm not going to go in here and build this, but you'll see right there, if I go back to my visual designer, You'll see that it did that automatically for me. So what happens is you're using your text-based designer and you're using your visual designer, they work back and forth. And then when you get, you know, so now you've got this Visio drawing going right along with the SharePoint workflow. It gets stored and you're in there. You can see the process kind of as it's running. So it's awesome. And I mean, it's definitely a good way to build workflows, and it's going to help us a lot out with the transactional content management we've been doing. Okay. So just to kind of finish up here, just to go through, we talked about 13 ways to make ECM rock. We started here, and I call this site-based retention here. I call it site policies in the first slide, but that's where we started. We moved through mobility, how did some demos, and showed syncing, and went into search, and ended up with workflow. So before we jump to questions, I do want to remind you to go out to the, you know, go out to the site, and I think you can do it on your mobile phone on MySPC. You can do the eval. So, you know, please do the evals. Do it for our session, for everybody. It's great for the speakers to know. And if you have any questions, you can just buzz me on Twitter. There's my name right there, Chris L. Cap. And with that, we can run to questions.
Really quick, for people that are doing kind of the type of thing that people you service, do you see most of them having to do on-site deployments, or could we support the type of products that you do with Office 365?
Yeah, well, with one of the things we built, that Knowledge Lake Connect product, and the reason we built that is because when you get to Office 365, there's the app model out there, and we're starting to build all our app model products now. So, you know, our big goal on that is, if you've heard about this thing called, and I think they're calling it the Corporate Hub, I've heard some different names bounced around, but as that Corporate Hub gets out there, we really want to use that Corporate Hub to allow those applications to go right into there so you can, you know, put it in your corporation and allow users. We're definitely heading that direction. But what we did with Connect is Connect works, and you know, our mobile stuff, all that's going to work, all our capture, directly with Office 365. So to us, it doesn't make that big of a difference which way you want to go. But right now, our full imaging product that we put on a server, obviously we can't put that in Office 365, which is why we're doing the app model stuff also.
Great question. Any more questions?
Is that it?